It's time for JT the Brick.
This is a Raider invasion of Southern California. I repeat, this is a Raider invasion of Southern California. So we get the Chargers coming off a 5-12 year. I repeat, because the last time we played them, we put 63 on their ass. 63 on their ass. Do you know anybody on God's green earth? Do you know anybody who said, I'm going to the window and bet the Chargers to win the Super Bowl? I don't. I know a lot of people.
If you combined all the Charger fans in Southern California, you can fit them in my pool.
JT the Brick.
You hear this crap? They're saying, oh, the Raiders have this. They don't have anything. But the Chargers do. And it's the same jerks who say, I love the Chargers roster. Every year. You idiot. You know nothing about the Raiders. The Chargers, America's new bandwagon, had 5 wins last year. Lost Austin Eckler, Keenan Allen, and Mike Williams.
I'm fighting off the Charger fans who think they're going to the Super Bowl.
And now,
63 on their ass.
Here's JT the Brick.
Out of the gate, JT ready to go. Live from Raiders training camp in Costa Mesa, California. One more practice to go. This is it here as we are wrapping up our in-depth team coverage live from Raiders training camp, where it's been nice to be out here. But the players are ready to break camp. The players are ready to head to Minneapolis and take on the Minnesota Vikings coming up here on Saturday. I'll be on the radio play-by-play call with the great Lincoln Kennedy and Eric Allen. And Jason Horowitz, our play-by-play voice, will go to TV with Matt Millen, who gets in tonight, along with the great Rich Gannon. Michael Mayer is supposed to join us here as the players are done with practice. Some of them are signing autographs. Some of them are lifting weights, doing what they do. Also, Gardner Minshew and Aiden O'Connell are speaking to the press today, and I think that is going to be a spirited conversation here because the press, I'm not going to say that they're ready to pounce, but the press, no doubt about it, has not been impressed by the quarterback play here at camp. They haven't been overwhelmed. It hasn't been a great camp for the quarterback position. It hasn't been. So I'm okay with that because the preseason hasn't started yet. So they better play better in these preseason games. And they're going to play in these preseason games. Hallelujah. After 9 years of Derek Carr being in bubble wrap, I'm excited to see quarterbacks play in the preseason. And you don't want a quarterback to get hurt. You don't want to jeopardize a quarterback's health by letting him play. But as you know, Justin Herbert will not play in the preseason. He's not even playing. He's in a boot at practice for the Chargers. So when you think of what I just said, Justin Herbert, who I hope is healthy, I want everybody to be healthy in the league. I never go down that road. I'm hoping for an injury. I'm hoping he doesn't come back to playoffs. I'm not that guy. But the fact that Justin Herbert's getting in no reps and Gardner Minshew and Aiden O'Connell are getting and splitting reps and neither one of them have distinguished themselves being much better than the other, a lot of insiders are talking about it, and they're talking about it, and they're vocal about it. Again, working for the team, being here on the flagship station, I'm not the guy who's going to start a controversy because I think it's a competition. But I told you weeks ago on this broadcast, if it gets to a controversy, we're going to cover a controversy. For me, it's just a competition as we open the show up today. But it's the second to last day at and you are inside Raiders training camp. So if you can hear me, see me on YouTube, if you're looking, Michael Mayer is going to join us in a moment. You want to call this show today because we have just 2 more radio shows live from Costa Mesa today and tomorrow. The number is 702-365-9200, and we'll see what happens. And a lot of fans are excited about the defense. Jack Jones had one hell of a practice today. Oh, my God. That guy is sniffing out every average pass, below average pass that he can see, and he's making a play. So Jack Jones, to me, was the best player on the field today, at least from what I saw, for being here for the entire practice. I love the fact that the Raiders do have depth on the offensive line because there's no Jackson Powers Johnson still as he's on the PUP list. But very fortunate for the Raiders here, as I talked to a couple of coaches on and off the record here, that the Raiders have Cody Whitehair to jump in at guard, and they have the ability now to see, I think, Andres Pete play, who's got experience. They got a couple of veterans who are being called on to play here in practice, and they're veterans, and they're good players. So if you have to break the glass, and Colt Miller's ready to go. Colt Miller will be ready to go. No need to see Colt Miller out there, but he's close to being ready to go. I do not know what they're going to do with Colt Miller in the preseason games. I don't think he's the one player, probably with Devontae, but you got to see a little bit of Devontae after the baby is born in the preseason because he's got to get in a rhythm with either Gardner Minshew or Aiden O'Connell. So Devontae playing a quarter, I'm not going to be shocked if he's able to do that. But the key I want to make today as we open up the show is this is now go time for the quarterbacks. And the quarterbacks have not taken advantage of that opportunity. Period. They just haven't been able to do that. I've always thought that Aiden O'Connell would probably win this job. I no longer think that. Not saying he's going to lose the job. I'm not going to tell you exactly today as we sit here. What's today? August 6th. And tell you who's going to be the starting quarterback. But I think Gardner Minshew has the edge. I think most of the insiders believe that Gardner Minshew has the edge for this opportunity. And if you look at the schedule, opening up against Joey Bosa and Khalil Mack, and then playing the Baltimore defense, I think you want a mobile quarterback with experience in those first two games. I always thought that Aiden O'Connell would be it. He'd earn the position. He'd earn the starting position, and he'd open up. And if he went 1-1, he'd keep the job. If he went 0-2, he'd lose the job. Whatever's going to happen is going to happen. That's up to Antonio Pierce, Luke Getsy, Tom Telesco especially. But I'm starting to sense that Gardner Minshew might be the player after what I saw at extensive practice here in camp to just give the veteran who's a little bit more mobile the opportunity, more one snaps overall so he's up and ready to go. And if I'm wrong with that, you know where to find me. This isn't end-of-the-world radio stuff, but there are some NFL insiders who I'm watching practice with, and if they see a ball float, if they see a ball go out of bounds, remember what I told you the first day when I was out here at camp, first day. I told you that every rep that goes awry, every rep that there's a mistake, there's an interception, there's a deflected pass, there's an incompletion, you never get that rep back. You lose an opportunity for a play. And I don't know what the number was. I was talking about that with Q Myers and Vinny Bonsignor and a couple other guys today. How many percentage of these passes do you believe were either broken up, incomplete? And I'm going to keep that number to myself, all right, because I don't have the accurate number, right? I'm not charting every throw. But that number is not good. That number is not what I'm used to seeing being around this organization going on 27 seasons. And these quarterbacks are good. As I said, I believe they're both good quarterbacks in this league. And as I talked about with Vic Taffer, who's going to join us a little bit later on, you know, I really believe that both of these quarterbacks can manage the game and the defense can dominate the game. And if you saw on my Twitter feed at JT the Breck yesterday, my son cut up some reels, and my son is in the chat right now with the fire signals coming at me. You know, there's a lot of playmakers on this team. When you have Brock Bowers, Michael Mayer, Devontae Adams, Jakobi Meyers, and Zamir White, you got playmakers and you got to get them the bleeping ball. Okay, I don't care if you check down. I don't care if you throw a four-yard in route. You throw a seven-yard out route. Run the play like you ran in Costa Mesa. And I don't think these plays in Costa Mesa are all locked in yet. Luke Getsy, here's the positive of Luke Getsy. I think most of it is positive, is that there's a lot of motion. There's a lot of different looks. There are players in motion, tight ends in motion, tight ends in the slot. I'm encouraged by that. As I said, I worked for the Raiders, so when Josh McDaniels is the head coach, I didn't come to my meetings with a pitchfork telling him he sucked. But what I was disappointed with Josh McDaniels, is there was no motion. There was no elaborate play calling. Everything looked totally vanilla in camp and in the regular season. I'm not seeing that with Luke Getsy. I'm seeing the opposite. I'm seeing everybody in motion. I'm seeing some really good crossing patterns and stuff that I've been screaming for over a decade here. So let's see what happens. But if Luke Getsy calls a really good play, it's Brock Bowers underneath, it's Devontae over the top, and Max Crosby's running around the corner playing touch, you're it. You don't get the playoff. Does any of this matter? Does any of this matter if these guys can't block up front? Now with Colt Miller back and eventually JPJ and the, I think, veterans that they have and the ability of DJ Glaze to play along with Thayer Mumford, I think they're going to be okay. But there's no fullback there. You know, Zamir White can block, but he's not Josh Jacobs. Josh Jacobs was great when it came to blocking in the backfield. So with all this happening here, they've got to get more productive, very productive plays going in the preseason. And a lot of times you hear, well, we don't want to go through this. We don't want to show our hands in the preseason. I get it. You know, you're not going to run a double reverse in the preseason. You're not going to run your best plays for everybody to see, but you got to run some plays. You got to get these guys off to a pretty good start. because I think overall, and I'll be kind and I'll be, you know, always honest to you, I think that the quarterbacks have been very average. And when you're fighting to be a starting quarterback in the NFL in camp, you can't be average. You need to be great if you want to start in this league and you want to beat out someone who's similar to you. Neither quarterback has been great. Neither quarterback has been very good. I think the quarterbacks are average. I'm being kind. I think there's probably been more average days than there have been great days here. So that's what I got here in the monologue as we open up the show, brought to you by PTs. They fuel the monologue, and they have you ready for UFC. If you want to go to any big event and pregame for UFC, head on out to PTs because they know how to do it. And they are a great partner of ours here on Raider Nation Radio. They have happy hour from 5 to 7, midnight to 2, voted the best happy hour pretty much forever. And they have a great opportunity to host you coming up for any UFC event coming up. Also, two words, fantasy football and beer. That should be okay. That's three. But who's counting? If you're in it to win it, PT's got you covered. Host your ultimate fantasy football draft party at PT's Taverns and score big with 10% off your tab, a free draft kit, and free Wi-Fi. Gather your league, kick back, and draft like a pro from PT's. I'm not a fantasy football guy, but the people that throw their parties there really love it because they have the fantasy kit for you along the way. You want a hot, flaming Doritos take? There's no chance the 49ers win the Super Bowl without Brandon Ayuk. Period. That's the biggest story in sports today. He is a top 10 receiver. We have one here, I think, in the top five or better in Devontae Adams. You cannot lose Brandon Ayuk if you're the San Francisco 49ers and think you're going to win the NFC Championship game. Think that you're going to go in and win the Super Bowl. You can't. Now, look, if you're able to make a trade with Cleveland and you get Amari Cooper, okay, I'm all right with that. If you get a serviceable wide receiver opposite Debo Samuel, who is a human missile, you still have a chance to win in the playoffs and go far with Christian McCaffrey, George Kittle. But if you lose Brandon Ayuk and you don't replace him with a similar type player, and there aren't many, none available that I know of now, other than a potential wild trade with the team that gives up a number one, then the 49ers are putting a Super Bowl in jeopardy. Okay, that's it. That's all I want to tell you on that, is that is a big storyline developing today as we open up the show. You know, the Niners got a little cockiness in them. Trent Williams is just a big guy. He's going to the Hall of Fame. He doesn't want to practice every day, but he actually wants money. He really wants money along the way. And to me, you know, that takes balls. He has the ability to do that. But wow. I mean, for the Niners right now to have guys miss out after going to the Super Bowl, that's not the end of the world. But to lose Brandon Ayuk in any category, any specific way, the Niner empire, the bang-bang 49er fan, that 49er fan is going to lose their mind. And I like that type of party. I like that type of party if that happens along the way. All right, so the phone number is 702-365-9200 if you want to get in. We're waiting on Michael Mayer, obviously. Getting back to what we just said about Brandon Ayuk, this is Ian Rappaport from NFL Network earlier today on this developing story.
Now, my understanding is there are active trade discussions between the San Francisco 49ers and several teams here, and we have documented, and Mike and Tom have done a great job of it over the last couple hours about detailing where they are. My understanding is the Pittsburgh Steelers have had discussions with the 49ers about potentially trading Brandon Ayuk. They are for sure in it right now. They are one of several teams that the 49ers are speaking with. The Cleveland Browns are one of those teams. The New England Patriots are one of those teams. And there are a couple different parts to this trade. There is, can the 49ers agree to terms on a deal with either of these teams? I would say they're certainly further along with the Browns and Patriots than they are the Steelers, but that is another one that at some point those two sides could come together and get a deal in place. And then there's the contract that Brandon Ayuk would want, and that is why he's had so much power, so much say in this situation, because he's not going anywhere unless he gets a contract that he wants that sets him up financially like he desires. And as Tom mentioned, the market has absolutely skyrocketed, and for sure he is going to benefit from that. That's why the situation really hasn't moved, because there's so many different parts, and it is more fluid, I would say, than any other trade I can remember, guys.
All right, so again, Ian Rappaport from NFL Network there. Do you think Brandon Ayuk would be happy in New England? No, not at all. He's on the verge of a Super Bowl, and he's a big part of that team. So that's one of the developing stories here outside of Raiders camp as we open this up. So when it comes to the Raiders, the topic that is emerging more and more is the quarterback. We always knew the quarterback was going to be the most important topic that we'd have along the way here. But, you know, again, today I was out here, and I won't say I was greatly disappointed. I just was hoping for a little bit more. And Antonio Pierce is a real big juice guy. You know, he's a guy who's going to get you fired up along the way. And, you know, whatever his philosophy is here at camp, he played in this league. He's won a Super Bowl. He really knows how to bring his A game. Max Crosby's bought his A game. Christian Wilkins. You know, there's not fights like you're seeing because they don't have a joint practice. You see what's going on with the Giants and Detroit. There's brawling. There's fights there. Some people like that. You don't want to see any stupid injuries along the way. But for the Raiders here, it's not a negative to me, but it's a negative for some that they haven't seen enough juice. As Vinny Bonsignor said throughout camp, there hasn't been any wow plays, like literally plays that you sit around and go, wow. And you say, man, look at that. And he was saying, you know, if you go up the road, Oxnard, the Cowboys, and Dak have 5 to 10 of those. So where is Gardner Minshew at this point trying to get this job? Where is Aiden O'Connell fighting off Gardner Minshew trying to get this job? I haven't seen much, but I'm not freaking out because I know this is a long, long run and road here in the preseason as we get going here. We're going to get to Gardner Minshew. Bobby's going to tell me which one is available first. We'll get him queued up. They're going to be talking here in a little bit, but sometimes after these practices, these get a little bit delayed because the players are working out. But Gardner Minshew at the podium speaking to the media. Okay.
Gardner, the team has talked about, you know, that this is a battle. I'm curious, what do you feel like you have to do to differentiate yourself from Aiden to win the job?
I don't know, man. I think the big thing for whoever's out there, we got to take care of the ball. You know, I think that's going to be a big part of our success. I think we're going to counter our defense this year and just distribute the balls to the playmakers that we have. I think if we take care of the ball, and I think that's the case for pretty much everybody in the league, you can win.
How have you felt that that's gone for you in particular?
I think it's been really good, man, especially like since we put the pads on. I think we've had some really good work against the defense, and they do a good job giving us all kinds of different looks, mixing it up. They got playmakers over there. I think it's been awesome, man, and I think we've really grown as an offense and are starting to figure out who we are.
When you look at that defense, and it's obviously a really good defense, you look at what they're able to do, does that create a recipe for you guys to win, kind of leaning on that defense, leaning on your run game, and you guys, kind of like you said, taking care of the ball and taking advantage of those playmakers?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you win the turnover battle, you win like 70-75% of your games. So like just starting there, you know, it's huge for us. And then you have a defense that when they're playing at their, you know, capacity, they can really shut people down, you know. So really, that becomes even more important. Just playing complementary football and understanding what we are as a team.
Is there been a difficulty of not having 17 around for a few days, or is it giving you, I guess, a chance to work with some other guys?
I mean, you certainly miss him, but I mean, I think it's been a great opportunity for other guys to get in and get some real reps and to step up. I mean, I think we feel great with our whole crew out there. You know, all of our receivers have been making big plays. Tight end group is awesome. Running backs even getting out, running the ball and catching the ball. I think it's been a good opportunity for everybody to kind of get going and find their place in the offense.
How much do you feel Max Crosby out there?
No, you feel him, you hear him. You know, he's always trying to touch you. It's kind of his thing. But no, he's awesome, man. He makes an impact. And as long as he's doing that on Sundays, man, we're gonna be in good shape.
What were your takeaways from the scrimmage on Saturday night?
Shoot, takeaways. I mean, kind of the same things we've been working on camp, you know. Like, you know, you turn on the scrimmage, but it's another practice for us. It was a good competitive opportunity. You know, under the lights, felt like a high school jamboree a little bit, which was fun. But, man, I think it's the same things we've been building towards the whole time. I think we're starting to find out what our identity is as an offense, what different guys can do, how we can put them in positions to succeed. And that process has been a lot of fun.
How much do you think the preseason performances will dictate what happens with the decision for the starting job?
Oh, I have no clue, man. You know, it's not my decision. So,
how excited are you to get to play a different defense than these guys?
Yeah, no, I mean, I love playing preseason football. Any chance to get out and play is awesome, you know, and I think with the guys we have, it'll be a lot of fun, a chance to go out and make plays and hopefully win.
We were talking about scrimmage earlier. Were you surprised when there was some contact with, like, Max hit you at one point?
I mean, it was like a full contact, like, live scrimmage, so, like, no.
How have you approached preseason in your career? And, you know, this is maybe your first real opportunity to fight for the starting job in camp. That was the declaration. So do you approach preseason any differently, knowing that that's what's at stake?
No. If there's a better way to approach it, I'd have been doing that, you know, but I think it's all a process to get better, you know, whether in your competition or not. Like, I believe I can play in this league. If I get better, I can play really well in this league. So if I can continue to get better, I'm going to put myself in the best opportunity, and that's all I can really control.
I know it's preseason, but it's an actual game. And as you mentioned, going up against a new defense and finding out kind of your identity, what is it that you're actually looking to accomplish on Saturday?
Win, you know, do that, score, take care of the ball, you know. And I think it's all an opportunity, you know, to kind of figure out what we are, what we're about, and build confidence going into the year.
What is that identity? You mentioned that a couple of times, that you're finding your identity. What is the Raiders' identity offensively in your mind?
Yeah, I think it's going to be dishing the ball out, getting our guys in space, running. We got some guys that are awesome after the catch, doing that heavy run game, play action with it, and just really having a balanced attack and balance with run pass, balance with multiple people touching the football. I think that's what's going to be good for us.
How is this offense taking advantage of your ability to move around a little bit in the pocket outside of it?
Yeah, it's good, man. I like, you know, some of the play action, some of the boot game stuff is good. Yeah, I think all that sets up well, and it's stuff that's a lot of fun for me.
We ask you a lot about practicing against, like, Max and Christian, guys up front, but Jack Jones seems to have taken his game to a kind of a different level. What is it like practicing against him, and how difficult does he make it out there?
No, he definitely has a nose for the ball, man. He's kind of a wild card. You know, even though you know the coverage by the book, he can play a little different, read things and pick things up. He's a smart player that has good instincts, you know, so you always kind of have to be aware that he'll probably get involved in the play if it's on his side.
How difficult has that secondary been in general, just to, you know, complete some passes and some explosive plays in particular?
Yeah, no, they're doing a good job, man. I like, safeties are vets. Jack's been doing great. Nate, Nickel, super smart, savvy dude. JB on the outside, so fast. Like, I mean, it's a great group and an awesome challenge every day to go out there against them.
How unique of a safety blanket, I guess, is Brock Bowers when he's screaming across the middle for you and you're rolling out?
He's awesome, man. I mean, all these guys that you can get the ball to and they can turn, like, two-yard passes into, you know, explosive gains, that's huge, man. And that's things that really keep your offense on track. And you get explosives like that, then you're turning drives into points. And look forward to, you know, him especially, but a lot of guys in the room that can do that for us.
How do you believe your offensive line has really been trying to hold up and develop so far as camp has progressed?
I think it's been good, man. I think a lot of the communication's gotten tight, man. That's a huge thing as the offensive line group. Those guys, five is one, you know, being able to communicate, pass off different looks. And we've seen every look from our defense. So, I mean, I think that's great preparation for heading into the year. And I think we should have a lot of confidence with our group.
Seems like it's been a good battle between you and Nate. The relationship's good, but is it hard on a daily basis not to say, like, oh, I was better than him today, he's better than me, to, like, keep score in your mind like that?
No, I'm honestly just trying to compete against myself. If I can get better, I'm going to be all right.
All good.
Thank you, buddy.
Thank you.
All right, that is Gardner Minshew, who just spoke. I'm going to have a lot to say on that coming up momentarily. For me, and I'm looking over, we got a tent wall between that. So as I was hosting the monologue here, I couldn't see his mannerisms and everything that's happening overall. But I can tell you this much, that Michael Mayer is going to join us in a minute. That was an interesting, very interesting conversation by Gardner Minshew. I told you before it, the media was going to make sure that they asked him some tough questions. I expect the same thing for Aiden O'Connell along the way. Expect the same thing. So, Bobby, we're going to go a little long here. Michael Mayer's walking up here. We should have him here in the next 30 seconds or so, and we have him coming up right now. And I'm excited to talk to him because a lot of good things happened today as Michael Mayer is kind enough to join us. out of Notre Dame now, in another camp here for the Silver and Black, and he's kind enough to join us on the flagship. Good to see you.
Good to see you, too. How you doing?
I'm great, and I'm sure you're great, too, because everybody is getting ready to break camp, go to Minneapolis, and play the first game. I talked earlier in the year with you with your conditioning and how good a shape you're in. What'd you get out of this camp so far?
A lot to get better at still, for sure. A lot to get better at. But since day one, we've improved tremendously as tight in the tight end room and offense as a whole and at the team as a whole. It's been great being out here. It's 10 times better than being in Vegas than last year. But it's been great. It's been great. New coach staff's great. AP's been fantastic with his leadership. And it's no complaints. It's been awesome.
As much as everybody's talking about you and Brock Bowers, that's a deep tight end room. I mean, I'm seeing all these tight ends come in after you get your reps. They're making plays, and I love the scheme and the motion and how active the tight ends are here in Costa Mesa.
Very active. We got a very deep tight end room.
Yeah.
It's been tremendous to be able to learn with them, grow with them. Luke Steckel, the new tight ends coach, he's been awesome too. And we're deep, man. We can run 13 out there. We can put three tight ends out there, four tight ends, two tight ends. Like, it's been awesome to run.
It's been great. Michael Mayer joins us. Your blocking, how has it improved, especially now going up against Max on one side, Kuntz on the other side? I mean, you're ready to do this. You're a physical player here, and iron sharpens iron. You got to love this.
100%. Look, it's about fundamentals and technique. I think I learned that pretty quick last year coming in. And so the offseason, one of my big things was keep my hands inside and keep my feet running. If I have those two things and I combine those two things and I get my hands inside and I get a hold of them, it's really hard for them to kind of shed me or get around me or things like that. So those are the two things that I kind of worked on in the offseason and have been grinding. And it's only showed out there so far.
Michael Mayer is our guest, so I couldn't wait to share this with you today. I'm wearing Tom Flores' Hall of Fame hat. So Tom Flores is getting up there, and I called him at home today in Palm Desert, and I told him I was interviewing you. And it was all about Dave Casper. So as you walk through the building, you see the ghost, Dave Casper. You know he's a Hall of Famer. But I also asked Coach about Todd Christensen, Raymond Chester. So he did a deep dive with me. And the reason why I wanted to bring you up is Dave Casper, we know ghost to the post, his Super Bowl touchdown. But they said about Dave that he was so smart out of Notre Dame, you didn't have to run these reps over and over for him. So Fred Biletnikoff has told me this, Tom Flores and Phil Villapiano. They said the Raiders' great play in that era wasn't to Biletnikoff, it wasn't to Branch. It was this block at the line of scrimmage release, and Ghost would go to the corner in the Super Bowl or Ghost to the post or something that everybody knew was out there, but the Raiders didn't show it a lot. And I said, Coach Flores, this reminds me of Michael Mayer, to have a play for him, and we're not tipping the scheme here, where you feel comfortable, you can dominate that play all the time.
Yeah, I think there's a couple plays we got in that could do that. Me, including Brock, including Harrison Bryant. I mean, we just got so many weapons and so many people that are reliable. You can count on them. Mm-hmm. They know what they're doing. They know the offense. They know, hey, I got to do this. Hey, let's talk. We're seeing this. We're D-ing this. Communication out there is huge, especially in this offense, and it's been just awesome being out there with those guys.
Yeah, I love this, and that gets me to Luke Getsy, and when he throws this out at you, the install. So when I talked to you last, we talked about the install. It's got to happen quickly here, because as the quarterbacks are getting peppered, who's trying to distinguish themselves, we're not hearing it about the tight ends. The tight ends know the install. They know the crossing routes, when they're staying in and blocking. That's got to make you feel good, knowing that your group is tight and understanding a new offensive coordinator.
And you can play confident, too.
Yeah.
And, I think there was a couple times last year when I wasn't out there playing confident, and that's huge in the NFL. You got to be out there, go on the field, and play confident. And we haven't had any problems with the tight end room so far. Everybody's out there playing with confidence.
Well, as we wrap this up, that brings me back. Former regime, new regimes come in. I'm hosting the pre- and post-game show, and after every game, when you had a couple of big catches and the bigger games you had, I said, why are we not going back to him? And the frustration you had where you were open, they went to you, you made a great play in the end zone, and I'm like, run it again. It's not let's run it every two games. Do you feel like at this stage now you have the confidence of this organization where there could be a game where you have 11 or 12 receptions because you're a matchup nightmare?
100%. I think I've found that confidence in myself. I think they have that confidence in me. I think my teammates have that confidence in me. And look, there's five, six guys on that offense that can go out there and have 10, 11, 12 catches a game, you know? And so it's the number one rule. We want to win. Whatever's going to help us win, that's what we want to do. So if that's what it takes, then that's what it's going to have to take. But we need to keep W's in the W column.
Last one. I'm the guy, 27 years coming up with the team, that I try to be the guardian of the gate when people are talking crap about us, mostly fans. This year it's been about the national media not covering us much, and some national media, oh, they're a 4 or 5-win team. I go, what are you talking about? They won 8 games last year, should have been 9 blindfolded, and the team got better. Is that coming into your space and in the locker room that, hey, you go home, you watch a channel or two, and you're saying, man, they're not covering us, and we're a pretty good team. We've beaten Denver 8 in a row. The Chargers were better than they had 5 wins last year. Let's point us up there and start covering us a little bit more.
We have confidence in ourselves. We know what we can do as a team, offense, defense, special teams, all three together. We're just going to kind of wait, keep it to ourselves, go out there, try to play the best ball we can play. And, look, we got a lot of leaders in that locker room. We got a lot of leaders on that field. So we're going to keep it in-house. We're excited about this season, man, and I'm ready to get started.
Your message to the Raider Nation?
We got a great team here. Really, really good team. We got a lot of confidence in our locker room. We're going to keep our head down. We're going to keep working. We're going to keep getting better and, put as many W's in that W column as possible.
Thanks for doing this.
Thank you.
Always
appreciate
a pleasure.
Thanks
there
for
you
having
go.
Me on.
Michael
Thank
Mayer,
you.
We got him, and we're thrilled we had him, and that's the type of juice and energy that we need here. Appreciate you coming on. Thanks. You got it. There he is, Michael Mayer. And we knew we'd get him. And, again, the Tom Flores conversation when we come back, I'm going to dive into that more. Because I can do a whole show on my conversation with Tom Flores. This is why you subscribe to my YouTube channel. Look at all the YouTubers who got a chance to see Big Mike. Come on, man. There was no YouTube on radio 5, 10, 15 years ago. Now we're doing everything on YouTube and live on the radio. Subscribe, JT the Brick, YT. Some of you old-timers, get a YouTube. Get it going, subscribe, and be there. I mean, how good was that? This guy, I'm serious, he and Bowers are the best chance I'm a season ticket holder, have to make the playoffs, period. I'm a Devontae guy. You know that. I'm a Max guy. You know that. That guy, Big Mike, when Brock Bowers was drafted, didn't call his agent and say, get me out of here. Get me out of here. They're bringing in someone who might have more opportunity than me. He is a teammate. And I love the fact that there's a Notre Dame connection to the great Dave Casper. How about that? And make sure Alex and Orlando DiCastaverde know we just had Big Mike Mayer on, and it's brought to you by the DiCastaverde Law Group. If you get into an accident or injured, 702-222-9999. The brothers win. The brothers have you back. When we come back, Vic Tafer's going to join us. Also, Greg Rosenthal is here. And he's going to jump in, and we're going to talk to him. He's from NFL Network. He's covering the team. He's been known to go toe-to-toe with the Raider Nation. We'll put him on the radio, hear what he has to say. I am honored to be here going into this Minnesota game, traveling out with the team and being part of the broadcast as we're live from Costa Mesa on the flagship of the Silver and Black.
I felt it a little bit coming into camp, kind of building off of OTAs. We all kind of was moving around in different spots, and I got a good amount of reps with the ones during OTAs, and I feel like that helped me kind of develop a little bit more of a role than I had before the fact. So just trying to build off that every day is the goal.
It's DJ Turner, who's getting a lot of reps here at camp, JT, as we're live from Costa Mesa. And we're brought to you by the Black Hole. And, you know, I'm a member of the Black Hole, first ever inducted into the Black Hole Hall of Fame. I would not be on the radio if it wasn't for Black Hole Rob Rivera and the entire Black Hole. So I'm completely invested in the Black Hole, and I want you to be too. So you can become a member of the Black Hole. I'm at Raiders training camp in Costa Mesa. I see Black Hole shirts because for less than $60, you can be a member for life. So just go to theblackhole.com and get it done. It's basically just logging into theblackhole.com, click on membership, become a lifetime membership, and then you're going to be all set. You're going to be ready to go. So when you show up at all of these events and you're having a good time, you could say, I'm a member of the Black Hole. You're not a charity case member of the Black Hole. Black Hole doesn't need anybody. They're inviting you to be a member. And if I got an invitation 20 years ago to be in the Black Hole, oh, my God, which I did, you take it. So the Black Hole, go to theblackhole.com and become a member here. All right, Bobby, let's get up Vic Tafer, who's kind enough to join us. And always great to talk to one of the premier insiders in the NFL and with the Raiders as he joins us from Raiders training camp in Costa Mesa, California. His new podcast is up and running, and he's watched a lot of quarterback play. So, Vic, let's begin. Your takeaway specifically today of the quarterbacks at practice.
I thought it was still a little erratic. I thought, yep, you know, we saw some good plays and some bad plays. I think accuracy is still kind of an issue for both guys. And I think, what else? Yeah, I just think it's still kind of wide open. I think, you know, they were hoping, I think maybe that Aiden would play a little better to kind of assert himself. He had the first snaps of this offseason. I thought they wanted him to take that step, but I think he quite hasn't yet. I think Gardner's still very much in the mix. You see his ability to make plays on his feet and kind of you can run and get out of trouble, which Aiden can't do. So I think it's still wide open as we head back to Vegas.
Is it more about Aiden not improving? Because reports were, obviously, he's going to get better and better, and with an off season and the work and staying in Vegas. So let's say, and I know you looked at his technique today also, why isn't there improvement, and can you blame it on the fact that the offensive line isn't intact?
I think that's part of it. I think, obviously, when you're not having your starting left tackle and you're starting left guard, that's a big deal, I think. But also, I think maybe the new offense. I think there's definitely some different looks. You're doing more misdirection, more play action, see more play, you know, more pass across the middle. So I think maybe he's still adjusting to that. Maybe more, it's longer process than they thought it would be. I think I mentioned to you on the sidelines, there's a hitch. I see a hitch more, like a little hesitation, which I didn't see last year. So maybe that's just a phase. Maybe that's the training camp thing where you're going through things mentally and trying to figure out where you should go. And obviously the clock is ticking, and these guys on defense are back there pretty quick. I mean, Max is always in these guys' face and chirping, and Christian Wilkins and Coons. So definitely not a lot of time to get it right back there. So I think sometimes maybe he's thinking too much to get, you know, so. But we both talked also about the offense looks pretty good as far as the structure of it. I mean, I think they have the tools. They got Devontae, Jacoby, the two tight ends. So there should be the ability to have like quick hitting plays across the middle and also on the sidelines. And these guys are all good after the catch. So I think that's going to be the bread and butter, that and the play action. And I think these guys can both do it if they get a little better.
Vic Tafer's our guest from The Athletic. So I wasn't there. The body language of Minshew, you know, a lot of times likes to joke around and have fun. Everybody was peppering him now. Now, to me, just hearing it, not seeing it, it seemed like this was his first press conference or podium conference where everybody was like, wait a second, what do you got to do to get this job? What's it like to be Chase? Where are you at? How did he handle that session there?
Pretty good. I think he said he feels like he's making strides. I think he feels like he's been positive the last week or so. So I think maybe we, on the outside, look and say, well, he's still missing throws and there's interceptions here and there. But in his mind, it's all about, you know, where you start and where you finish. And I think also in his mind, he can't really say this, but he's probably always been kind of a game kind of guy, not really a practice kind of player. I think he's always best, you know, kind of unscripted. So I'm sure it's a little tough wearing this kind of his offense. But I think he feels he's making strides. I think he knows he can get better and got to turn the ball over less. Both guys have turned the ball over way too much in practice. So it's not just him. So, I thought he was pretty positive. I mean, I think he realizes that he hasn't played great ball the last 2 weeks. But at the same time, he's still right in the mix.
Could you be suggesting that they should have been playing much better ball, or, you know, that's what I'm trying to get my head around, because you're at practice more than I am, and you see every throw, that everybody was expecting, including the coaches, just some more, as Vinny said, wild plays, a couple of more bullets, a couple more connections deep, and it's really hard to almost find any overall when you're sitting there looking at a practice trying to find something positive.
Yeah, I think because, you know, the book in Aiden is supposed to be he's a very accurate passer, and I think he has not been accurate this spring. And Sam Gardner's always been kind of maybe a couple seconds late in some throws. So I think for this offense to really work, it has to be in stride, has to be hitting guys like Bowers, you know, and giving the ability to break tackles and go. And so I think that's still a work in progress. I think Devontae has not been here the last 4 or 5 days for the birth of his kid. So that's also, I mean, he's a big piece to be missing in practice. And when you're throwing to, you know, Ramel Keaton, no offense to him instead of Devontae Adams, it's kind of a big difference. So. But on the positive side, it's a chance for these guys to all get reps.
Sure.
I mean, Christian Wilkerson's getting a lot of reps. DJ Turner's had a good camp. So these are guys who may not seem important now because they're not going to be starting. But down the road in the season, you may need those guys to make a play. And they'll look back on these reps as maybe a key step in that process.
So all your years covering the Raiders and the NFL, what can we look forward to with these preseason games with more time for the quarterbacks to play? get a quarter each, where, you know, Derek was pretty much in bubble wrap throughout his whole entire career. I understand why, but that's not the case here. So what do you expect to see not only in Minneapolis but the rest of the way?
I think we're starting to see Luke Getsy kind of peel back the onion a little bit. He won't show us live as often. Yeah. We see a little bit more here and there. I think we'll probably see a little bit more in the preseason because it has to be structured differently for these two guys because they're different style quarterbacks. I mean, you know, there's more rollout plays for Gardner, and you can't do that really with Aiden too much. So I think we might see the play calling be a little different, I think. And again, you're hoping the O-line plays a little bit better in these games to give these guys a little more time to make plays.
Finally, I talked to you on the sideline about the schedule. It's Bosa and Mac going up against Baltimore's defense, which is always either really good or great. I think Gardner's probably the better choice for those two games unless Aiden comes back and just plays incredible lights out in the preseason. Those two games are looming. You got a quarterback in a boot in L.A., and then you're going to have a team in Baltimore that's going to have 9 days off, win or lose, against Kansas City. This is a gauntlet for the Raiders right out of the gate.
It is. There are very important games because the schedule gets tough. So you kind of want to go in, you know, firing on all cylinders. So it's a good question. You're right, because Gardner's scrambling ability, I think, gives him an edge against those kind of guys over Aiden. Then again, I think for me, it'll come down to accuracy. I think, you know, especially with the quick passes. So if Aiden can get back to where he was, we got a month left, right? A month before the season starts. Yeah. So if Aiden has a good month where he's more accurate and kind of gets more comfortable, maybe he can hold off Gardner. But if not, If you can't be more accurate than Gardner, clearly so, then you're right. The edge grows to Gardner because of the other things. He can make plays, experience, and that kind of stuff. So I think it's kind of on Aiden right now to kind of take another step this next month.
Tell everybody about the evolution of your podcast now and what you're doing with that.
Yeah, so it's called Just Win. We kind of, The Athletic moved away from the local podcast, so we're doing pretty well with the State of the Nation podcast. Now we have a new name. We're on Blue Wire, but it's going good. We had Luke Getsy on last week. We'll have some more guests going forward, but... Yeah, trying to change it up and having some fun.
So are you here because we were going to do this, but are they lifting? Are they taking their time? Are they done? We know the quarterback spoke today.
Yeah, we got the quarterbacks. We got Andres Pete, who's taking all the snaps at left tackle. And those are the three guys today. So I think we're pretty much done today. And then tomorrow's the last day of camp here in Costa Mesa.
And you enjoyed Costa Mesa, a little bit different than what we're,
It's a very nice place, man.
Absolutely.
It's pretty nice.
Thanks for doing this. Good to see you. Look forward to having you on. That's Vic Tafer. We'll have him on every 2 weeks during the regular season on Fridays or when his schedule permits. And, you know, real interesting conversation as I was standing with Vic on the sideline today for a portion of the practice. As he just said, you know, this is a situation where when you look at the quarterbacks and not having the ability to distinguish themselves, I think he was able to figure it out and tell everybody what's going on. You're at a point now where you don't have your starting left tackle and what presumably is your starting left guard. So if you don't have that, what are you going to be able to get done? Are you going to have an elite training camp at quarterback? Well, they haven't been very accurate, and that's a concern. Appreciate Vic Tafer for joining us. That's brought to you by Raising Cane's Chicken Fingers. I can tell you everything about Cane's. Going back to school, the opportunity to just go and have fun. Their charity work in this town is second to none in Vegas. They are an established brand, Raising Cane's Chicken Fingers. I'm a Caniac.
I think the big thing for whoever's out there, we got to take care of the ball. You know, I think that's going to be a big part of our success. I think we're going to count on our defense this year and just distribute the balls to the playmakers that we have. I think we take care of the ball, and I think that's the case for pretty much everybody in the league. You can win.
It's Gardner Minshew who just spoke to the media. Welcome back to Raiders training camp live in Costa Mesa in Orange County. And we're brought to you by Tequila Commissario. Please go to their website. I've never seen a website like this for a brand, TequilaCommissario.com. I've been drinking the Reserve this summer on a little bit of ice out in the pool. It's been incredible. This is a great company, the Ferrari of tequilas. I talked to the Tequila Commissario team. They're back with us as a proud partner. The agave is amazing. The pure agave is incredible. Their story is amazing. And overall, if you're looking for a tequila, a different one, a higher-end tequila priced perfectly for you, the Blanco, the Reposado, the Añejo, the Extra Añejo, and obviously I love the Reserve. It's fantastic. We appreciate their proud partnership here as we're in Southern California where a lot of their team members are associated. So Tequila Commissario, proud partner of our training camp coverage here in Costa Mesa before we head home tomorrow. Here's Kinsley in Henderson on the flagship of the Silver and Black.
JT, I'm a first-time caller. Great to meet you. And I enjoyed when you hosted the State of the Team meeting last year. So I got to
thank you. Meet you. Appreciate that.
Shared with you. I grew up in Westchester and went to grade school with Wyatt Tittle's kids. So that dates me a little bit. Just two quick points. One on the media. I agree wholeheartedly with your assessment. Most of these folks don't know the team at all. And as my late father would affectionately label them, he would call them professional amateurs. Okay. Mm-hmm. So all I right. think we just have to get rid of that noise. On the QB quarterback competition, you know, I would say let's stop all the clutching of pearls over this. And I think, you know, key to success this year, assuming Aiden or Gardner start or both, is confusing the opposing teams.
Yes.
Now, we have some great talent here in Vegas, as you know, because I see you out around town. Mm-hmm. And I would say this may sound far-fetched, but let's bring in somebody like a Chris Angel as a team consultant. Hey, here are a couple of techniques to hide the ball when you're taking a handoff to Zeus, and all of a sudden you're going deep to you know, one of the wide receivers. Or you look left and throw right. So I think, you know, to the extent the quarterbacks can confuse the defense, I'm not worried about them having to bomb every pass, get those little short flicks out to the tight ends, but confuse that defense. I think that's key.
Yeah.
And we could be successful that way.
Okay. Let me jump in. I appreciate your call coming in. Thank you so much for finding the show as we're live from Costa Mesa. You made a good point. Look, Devontae is on this team, and Devontae needs some deep balls, period. Okay, Devontae is not the speed of Cliff Branch, but he can get behind the defense. You got to throw it deep. You got Trey Tucker to throw it deep. Jacoby Myers can run great intermediate routes. You can have him get behind the safeties from time to time. This team will be predicated on getting the ball to Michael Mayer and Brock Bowers when Devontae is double-teamed and running the ball with Zamir White and him running hard and picking up 4, 5, 6 yards on a carry at times and moving the chains. I think this team has a chance, and you can cut and paste this if you'd like. I think this team has a chance to be elite in the short passing game. Now, not a lot of people want to be elite in the short passing game. Everybody wants to throw it. They want to throw it deep. I get that. This team has a chance to be elite moving the chains over the middle of the field. You pick up a 3rd and 4 in the passing game and keep that defense you're going up on the field for another 2 or 3 minutes and wear them down, and then put Christian Wilkins out there and Max Crosby, that's how you're going to win games. This team will not win games in shootouts. Maybe 1 or 2, you know, 34-31 game. This team's going to have to win by being tough, physical, running the football, and being successful in 12 personnel. That's how I see it so far. That can change. I got my Tom Flores hat on. I want to share a very important conversation I had with Tom Flores a couple of hours ago. Come on back for that, please.